Turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. I am amazed at how the Lord works and makes me look like I know what I'm doing sometimes as far as coordinating the messages from His Word in Isaiah and the messages in the book of Hebrews. Now, we've been preaching through both of those books of the Bible to kind of see God's plan of salvation for us, to see God's ultimate plan for this world and for mankind. And it's been great to see how He has put this puzzle together for us. In Isaiah chapter 45, we see God continue to show us how He is orchestrating His plan through the nation of Israel and setting it up for His Son, Jesus Christ. And we'll see the correlation between Hebrews and Isaiah this morning. But it's also interesting to see how God had all this planned out in the future. And oftentimes we look at our world and we say, what in the world is going on? What is God doing in our world? We see the hurricanes, we see the earthquakes, we see the shootings, and we see all the chaos in our world, and we think, what is God's plan for all this? What is His ultimate goal in all that's going on in our world? Often the question has been asked, why is God, a God who is holy and just and loving, allowing all this stuff to happen? And it's a good question to ask. It's not bad for us to ask that question, especially if we ask it with the right attitude. And we ask it wondering, really desiring to know the mind of God and what He is doing in our world. And what our place in that plan that He has really is. And so I think it's important for us to see that. Isaiah 45 gives us some insight into what He's doing in our world, how He is accomplishing His plan. We'll see it as we think about what we've already learned in Hebrews. And we'll see this new covenant being put in place here in Isaiah. Now, I think it's important that we see that God has a plan. We don't command God what to do. He tells us what He is doing. And as we look at the world in which we live, we see a lot of what man is doing. But I think we need to understand that God is working in His providence in spite of the things that are going on in our world that look horrible. He ultimately is working a plan out. You may be looking at your own life and asking the same question. Why did God allow something to happen to me? What is the Lord doing in my life? How come I am facing these difficulties? What is His plan for me? What is it? Well, I believe this passage will help us. I really believe chapter 45 of Isaiah will help us with some answers to those questions. But first, I want us to understand something about our God. I want us to understand His character a little bit. Because God is unchanging in His character, always holy, always just, always loving, always patient, always looking out for us, He is impeccably consistent in all His dealings with man. I want you to understand that. He is totally consistent in all His dealings with man. This morning, as we were discussing Haggai, the first few verses of Haggai chapter 1 discuss putting God first in our lives, seeking Him first and His kingdom, and then seeing Him add on all the other things like houses and land and food and clothing in our lives. It's consistent with what Jesus told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. There's this consistency with God. A consistency where we see he will deal with all of us in the same way. When we put him first in our lives, he will be consistent with us and be faithful to us and provide all our needs. Now, many times, we think in our own circumstances that we are somehow unique, that our circumstances make our dealings with God unique and how he is going to deal with us unique. Sometimes the devil tricks us into that. We let the devil trick us into thinking that because of what we've done, God's not going to bless us like he's blessed others, even if we put him first. We trick ourselves into thinking that God is not going to deal with us the same way that he has dealt with others. Well, I want you to understand that's not the case. Our God is consistent with all his people, and he will bless you and use you in your life just like he has others if you will just put him first. And he's consistent in that. And also, I want us to understand that because when we look at this passage or any passage where we see the promises of God, where we see him make a promise to someone, I want you to know that that promise is for you as well. Just like we discussed last time I spoke a couple weeks ago. Thank you so much, Brad. I appreciate that. Saw me choking. I'm 50 now, you know, so I'm getting messed up. So anyways, I need help. So we see that we can understand that he is going to be consistent with us and that he is going to be with us. Like I said a couple weeks ago, we are Israel to God. Do you understand that? You, as a believer in Jesus Christ, are considered Israel. That helps us understand this passage and other passages that we've been looking at. Remember when we talked about the verses in Galatians that say we are a Jew in the eyes of God. Did you know that? That you, because you have accepted Christ as your Savior, are a Jew in the eyes of God. You are part of the promised seed of Abraham. In the eyes of God. You are Israel in the eyes of God as a believer in Jesus Christ. So with that being the case, the promises made here in Isaiah chapter 45 and all the promises of God in his word are made to you. And he is going to deal with you in the same consistent manner that he has dealt with others. And he is going to provide you with the same faithfulness and consistency that he has with others, regardless of your unique situation. Now, he is going to use your unique situation to fulfill his promises in your life. He understands your unique situation better than anyone else, and he is going to provide a way of salvation through all of your situations. And that's what I love about God, how he can orchestrate his will in our lives in spite of our situation, in spite of the craziness going on in our world. We just recently saw another church shooting where someone goes into the church and was shooting people. We've seen mass chaos in our world. We've seen hurricanes, earthquakes, all kinds of things going on. And all this has not been lost by the sight of God. All of this he understands and is working through to perform his promised plan. And that's what I want us to understand. This is important because we see God working in a specific way through King Cyrus as we look at this passage. And through Israel's set of circumstances. Israel's unique set of circumstances. in the process of telling us about Israel's unique set of circumstances and how he is going to use Cyrus, the future king of Babylon, to perform his promised plan, we can gather some general answers to how he is going to work in our lives and how he wants to work in our lives and what he wants to accomplish in our lives. So let's take a look at this passage and see what God's plan is for you. First of all, I want us to understand that God's plan involves your best interest. Do you really believe that God is looking out for your best interest? That everything that comes into your life, all the trials, the problems, the good things, the wonderful people he brings into your life, and even the bad people he brings into your life, do you believe all that is happening for your good? Do you believe God is orchestrating all of that for your good? Well, you ought to. You ought to understand that. You see, a lot of things were going on in the nation of Israel at this point. They were about to be taken captive into Babylon. They were about to lose their livelihoods. They were about to lose their homes. They were about to have everything ripped away, including themselves, and they were going to be taken into captivity. But God said, don't worry. Even through all this, I'm still going to work my promises and my plan in your lives. Someday, I'm going to raise up a king in Babylon. His name's going to be Cyrus, and he is going to set you free, and you'll be able to come back to the land. But there was a reason for this exile, wasn't there? There was a reason why God had to do this in the lives of the nation of Israel. You see, they weren't worshiping God the way they ought to. They were, as a matter of fact, worshiping false gods all the time. They had rejected the message and the commands of God and were now worshiping false gods, just like God had told them not to do. And they turned their back on God. Well, God was not going to just let that happen and continue on. God cared too much for the nation of Israel, and he cares too much for you to let you just go on in your sin. He's going to put circumstances in your life that make you aware of your sin and the need to repent of it. That's what he's going to do. And so he did that in the lives of the nation of Israel. He orchestrated this exile so that they would turn from their sin of idolatry. And boy, was it effective. It was very effective. Even to this day, the nation of Israel, although they're not serving God like they ought to, do not practice idolatry. And so God was looking out for their best interest. You see, when a nation or a people or an individual gets away from God and his ways, it is detrimental to them. And so God's going to orchestrate things in our lives that will help us get back to what he knows is best for us. Get back to him. Get back to the ways that will help us, the kind of life that is beneficial. Now, it's wonderful to think about this prediction from Isaiah about King Cyrus. This actually came 200 years prior to it actually happening. Think about that for a minute. God, because he's all-knowing, can orchestrate situations in our lives knowing what's going to happen in the future. So when we get into a circumstance where we don't understand what God is doing, we have no clue what's going on, we can know this. God has it all planned out and figured out for our good way ahead of time. Way ahead of time. You understand what I'm saying here? That we might not be able to understand it in our situation right now and this day. But we can know this. God has it all planned out and figured out for our best interest, and he's got it all planned out in the future. And he knows the future. We don't. So even though we might not understand what's going on, we can take comfort in knowing that God does. And he will work it out for us. So I really want you to understand that God has a plan and he is working this all out. Why is he revealing this to the nation of Israel? Well, in verses 4 and 6, it tells us, it says, "For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me." Look at verse 6. It says, "That they may know from the rising of the sun to the setting, to its setting, that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other." Look at verse 13. It says, "I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and let my exiles go free, not for a price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts." God brought this to pass to get Israel out of its sinful bondage. The nation was full of idolatry, like I said before. This was for their own good. And we need to see that God is going to work in your life in a way that will help you see your sin and your need to be what he wants you to be. Because he wants what is best for you. And that is to acknowledge him as the one and only God and follow his instructions for you. That's what God wants for you. That's his plan for you. That you would see him as the true and only God, and you would proclaim him as the one and only God and worship him. This is why we see Jesus, God's only begotten Son, proclaim that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. That's what we see in God's plan of salvation. This exclusive plan in which God and God alone and his Son Jesus are worshiped and recognized as the only God and the one that will help us overcome the problem of sin in our lives. Jesus died on the cross, not only to forgive you of your sins, but to show you that if you follow him, it will be for your best interest. Understand that. Following Jesus is in your best interest. Whatever is happening in your life, you need to know that God is using your circumstances to show you that he alone is God. And following him is in your best interest. Christian, you can know that whatever happens to you in your future, God is going to work it out for your best interest. Secondly, I want us to understand God's plan involves you getting to know him better. You getting to know him better. Now, we've discussed this in Hebrews, and like I said, it's amazing how Hebrews and Isaiah correlate. But the theme that God wants you to get to know him better and grow in the knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ, is a theme that has been consistent with God since the very beginning of creation. That is why we were created, to get to know God. And that is exactly what his goal for us is now. He wants us to get to know him better. Now, there are some things that God wants us to clearly understand about himself. And these are seen in this verse, in these verses. Verse 12 says this, "I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hands, stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts I have commanded." Look at verse 18. It says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God? Who formed the earth and made it? Who has established it? Who did not create it in vain? Who formed it to be inhabited? I am the Lord, and there is no other." Well, very clearly here, God wants us to recognize that he is the creator of the universe. He and he alone is that creator. No other god had a part in it. There is no sun god, water god, earth god, star god. There's only one god, and he created everything we see. And that is something that we need to understand. We have seen God's proclamation as creator attacked in our society under the guise of science. Yet true observable science actually confirms that God did create this universe. That the biblical account of creation is accurate and dependable. It does not confirm evolution or the Big Bang theory. It is important that we know God as the creator, because if he is not the creator, if God has not created all, then we have no obligation to follow him or his commands. But he is the creator, and he does deserve to be followed and his commands obeyed. Verses 15 and 17 make it clear that God wants us to know that he has provided a way of salvation for us. I want to read those verses. It says this in verse 15. Truly, you are God who hide yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Now look at verse 17. It says, but Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Remember, we are part of Israel, according to Galatians and Romans. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. You see, God wants us to know that he's provided a way of salvation. In other verses in this chapter, it makes it clear that God is making this known to the whole world. He doesn't keep it a secret. This is not something that he wants only an exclusive people to know about. He wants the whole world to know about this salvation. And that's why Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because he wants everyone to know about his wonderful plan of salvation. And that is a plan that we need to understand. And so to understand him better, we need to understand that he is the creator and that we need to understand his plan of salvation. That's why I've taken so much time on this series about God's promised plan. Because I truly believe that the more we get to know how God is orchestrating his plan in this world, the better we'll get to know him. The better we get to know him, the better our relationship with him is, and we will be better off. Every circumstance in your life is orchestrated to help you know God better. Understand that. Every circumstance in your life has been orchestrated to help you to get to know God better. You mean that guy that almost cut me off last night? God put that person in my life to get to know him better? Yes, he did. He did. Because he wants you to have a little more patience and a little more self-control and understand that God is in control and he will help you even if he cuts you off and runs you into the ditch. He's going to help you. Okay? And so, yes, every circumstance that comes into your life is orchestrated by God to help you to get to know him better. Now, sometimes that's not easy for us to understand, but it is true. And I hope we'll take solace in that truth. We may not be able to understand everything about God, but we can know enough about him to trust him as creator and savior. And that's what we see with our wonderful God. Look at verses 22 through 25. It says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, The word has gone out from my mouth in righteousness, and I shall not return. That to me everything, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. Now, this is something that I hope we'll understand. This is a wonderful truth. God's plan involves a time when he alone will be worshiped. God's plan involves a time when he alone will be worshiped. You've heard this passage before. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. If you look in Romans 14 and Philippians chapter 2, you will see that quoted and reaffirmed in the New Testament. That there is coming this day when Jesus Christ will be worshiped and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is alone the Savior of the world and the only God. That is coming. That day is coming. And we need to understand that. That is what God is orchestrating in his plan. A time when he alone is worshiped. When he alone is recognized as the Savior of mankind and the Almighty, one and only God. God calls everyone to worship him because he is the only way of salvation. I hope we will understand this. You see, there's another truth in this that we need to understand. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. It is a symbol of surrendering to who God is and what he has done. That is what we see here. When we bow down before him, we are saying, God, I surrender to you. I understand that you and you alone are God, and that you are worthy of my submission to you. And not only are you worthy of my submission, but you are worthy for me to proclaim you and worship you as the awesome, almighty God and Savior. That's what we see. God's plan is for us to do that, to submit to him, to recognize him, and to worship him. That's what God's plan is for us. So we see in all that God is doing in our world, through all the trials and difficulties, God wants you to see that his plan involves your best interests. And this plan also involves you getting to know him better, and that he wants you to voluntarily surrender to him. That's what God's plan is.